There's no story in Scripture or throughout even literature that's more loved than the parable of the prodigal son. It's a wonderful story. I'm going to highlight from the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter. It's a story about the wayward son who leaves home and then returns back, and he's greeted by his father's unconditional love and affection. It's a story of God's love and God's grace. It's God's forgiveness and reconciliation. It's a story of hope for all of us, that regardless of how far off we have ventured from life's path, we can be forgiven and restored by the love of our Heavenly Father. Great story of redemption. A story that truly exemplifies the message of the gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ. So, I believe this. Now, because I'm a grandpa, see, I bring the Bible up only to carry my sermon, but the micro print's too small, so I always print it out in larger font. So, but in the 11th, beginning at the 11th verse of the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter, it says, Jesus continued. There's various teachings here, but Jesus continues. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So the father divided his property between his sons, between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth with wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out to go back to my father and say to him, Father, excuse me just a minute. I don't want to cough in it. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son, your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But I love this. You know, the son prepared that whole little sermon or that little script. I'm going to go back and grovel. And the father just interrupts him. Doesn't even listen to anything he's being said. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robes, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Great story. Great story. However, it's only half the story. Most preachers stop at verse 24. When the father says, For this son was mine, was dead, and he's alive, now he's lost, he's found, let's celebrate. So most sermons on the prodigal son are on the prodigal son, on the wayward younger son. But Jesus' opening words of this teaching, this parable, indicates that the father had two sons. The younger wayward son is only half the story, only half of the focus that Jesus was making. The other half of Jesus' teaching is about the eldest son, the oldest son, who stayed home. So let's give the older son a little credit, take a few moments to focus on the older son this morning, put the spotlight upon him, and to see if there's any message there, any teaching that we can glean from the older son this morning. And so beginning at verse 25, Jesus continues with the story by saying, Meanwhile, The older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, the servant replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has come back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all of these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you have never given me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and now is found. Great story. Great story. And when we look at the story, we read the second half. At first glance, the eldest son, appears to be the good guy character in the story. The faithful, obedient son that while his kid brother was out doing God knows what, out in that distant land, or as the King James Version said, he was in riotous living. Riotous living. Jesus tells the story, and the older son maintains the family farm, stays home and is faithful. He stays at his father's side, doing his father's will. But then one day, the oldest son comes home in from the fields, and he hears the party, and he sees this all going on, and he doesn't know what's going on, and he asks. Now, he's rightfully upset, because being his father's right-hand man, well, in fact, as you know, he divided. The father divided the estate. And back in that time, the youngest son would get one-third, and the eldest son, would have got two-thirds of the estate. So really, it's the eldest son's. And he should have rightly been told if there's anything going on within the family business, the estate, the farm. But this obviously was a spontaneous party, so there was no way to foretell what was going to be happening. But his already foul mood, because he wasn't told, is then further aggravated when he learns that the party is in honor of his younger brother. His known, good-for-nothing, irresponsible, disrespectful, wayward brother. And in fact, he's so angry that he won't even go in and discuss the issue with his father. The father has to go out and to see the son. Of course, there's a lot of sermons already up to this point. I know Pastor Don has preached on this, and he's a fantastic teacher. This idea that the father has to keep going and initiating to the sons. But so the eldest son complains to the father, now listen, all these years. Now I want to put a little bit of exaggeration, because the son's a bit exaggerating. All these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Never have you even given me so much as a young goat. Really? The dad just already gave two-thirds of everything he had away to the son, but never even so much as given me a young goat. But when this son of yours comes back, you kill the fatted calf for him. So, even so much into modern day language today, it would be like this. You know, Dad, this no good bum of yours deserves to be sleeping in the streets for what he did. Particularly after he's been out there chasing women and gambling your hard-earned money away, caught up in drinking and drugs, associated with people that nothing but disgraced our family's name. This no good son of yours comes crawling home and you throw him a banquet. Prime rib, lobster. For me, I've always been faithful. I'm the good son. And you can't even come up with hamburger helper and stovetop stuffing for me and my friends. Again, we can't fault the older son and his resentment. And for many of us, we can sympathize. Particularly if you're the older I have two older sisters, but I'm the older of the two sons in my family, because it always seems as though the younger gets away with everything. Isn't that it? But as we look closer into this story that Jesus is telling, the first thing that we need to really understand here is that the stay-at-home faithful son is just as lost as his younger wayward brother. While the younger brother's sin is bold and publicly disgraceful, the older brother's sin is more subtle, but it's just as grievous. The older son told his father that he never disobeyed him, that he was always faithful to his father. And as we hear that and the exaggeration, it kind of reveals this older son's arrogance. And it's in this arrogance, this self-righteousness of the older son, that it produces a resentful, hardened heart against his brother. And it blocks any possibility for this son to forgive and reconcile with his brother. There's a portrayal of this parable painted by Rembrandt in his wonderful, one of his wonderful masterpieces, and it's called The Return of the Prodigal. And if you look at this painting, you'll notice on the left side of the painting, Rembrandt shows the prodigal son. He's kneeling down humbly before his father. His clothes are tattered. He only has one sandal on his feet. His head is down. He's bowed. And as you look at this, the father is also kind of leaning down to his son out of great love and compassion for the wayward son that has come home. But also in the painting, you'll see on the right side of the painting is the older son. He stands off at a distance. He's very stoic, very rigid. His hands are locked and clasped together. As you study the painting, you'll see that Rembrandt reveals the unforgiving character of the older son. He appears to be a younger version of his father. Very dignified. Has a beard. Wearing the same red cloak draped over his shoulder. But there's a distinct and very clear, deliberate contrast to the father's opened embrace to the wayward son. While the older son appears to be like his father, he does not have his father's heart. Though he appears to be like his father, he doesn't have his father's heart. And Jesus wants to see this contrast as well in this story. The eldest son is just as lost as his younger brother, just as much in need of repentance. He is as lost as the sin of his brother in his hardened heart, unwilling to forgive his brother. And as his wayward, sinful brother, sin is very blatant in the story, the older son's sin is a little more subtle. But also in this parable, Jesus makes obviously clear that the father's love seeks both of his sons. For the younger son, the father is waiting, peering down that road. I don't know how long it took that son to blow through all that money. This is obviously a very wealthy man. He has servants. And so, I don't know, maybe he walked away with $1 million, we'll say. Probably took him a while to blow through $1 million. A lot of partying, riotous living. But that father would have been peering down that road day after day after, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. He was waiting and hoping to that moment. And when that moment came, the father raced down the road and embraced his son. For the older son, the father has to go out to greet him. Always to tell him how proud he was of him, the elder son, that he was always with him, proud of his loyalty, proud of his faithfulness, and that everything that he had was his. a beautiful, loving heart of a father. And it's here that the purpose of this parable is revealed, that Jesus is offering an example of the Father's love, of how God's love and grace works in our lives. That all of God's children, whatever we've ever done, however far we've gone off life's path, our Heavenly Father's unconditional love and grace is always waiting for us to turn to Him. Both brothers were had sinned against the father. The younger son disgraced him, ignored the moral upbringing and standards of his father. He shamed his family's name in excessive riotous living. And the eldest son, with his hardened heart, self-righteousness, ignoring the compassion and forgiving love of his father that he has always displayed. And yet the father's love still goes out to both his sons. So the question for us this morning is this: where do you find yourself in the story? That's the nature of a parable. When we listen to the story, the intention of the story is eventually for Jesus to pull you into it. So there's only three characters in the story that we get to identify with. There's the younger son, there's the older son, and there's the father. Now, I'm sorry, but the father is clearly the Lord, so I think that's off the table, Gary. We can't select that one. So we gotta choose. What do you identify with? The younger, wayward son? Maybe you're someone who has done that riotous living. Maybe you've gone off the rails in life. Maybe your heart is filled with memories of things that you've done that just grieve you, that make you shudder. But out of great humility, you came home. And you know the joy of coming home and being welcomed by God's grace and love. Maybe you identify with the younger son. Or maybe you identify with the older son. Maybe you're someone who's been faithful. You're like the son who stayed home in the family. You have been faithful and followed in your father's footsteps. Been a faithful member of Beachside Baptist Church. You've been responsible in your business, your doings, your education. Yeah, in this parable, we're convicted. Because sometimes in our spiteful, arrogant attitudes, it seeps into our hearts sometimes. We sometimes label other people that they're beyond hope. That they deserve what they're getting. That they're beyond God's love. The eldest son would not even offer his brother, or refer to his brother as my brother, but to his father he would say he is your son. Yet the wise father kept returning back to say your brother. The two primary points that Jesus is making in this parable coincides with the two sons. The wayward prodigal son, no matter how far off life's rail you've gone, God still loves you. Just turn around, just repent, and the father will run to you. Or the eldest son, that even if you've had a hardened heart, choose to have the heart of your father. Be ready to welcome those who are broken and fallen in life, ready to receive, ready to offer the good news of Jesus Christ. Just recently, here last month, just a few weeks ago, Don offered a wonderful sermon series on 1 John. And earlier in May, and when Don was preaching on 1 John chapter 4, Pastor Don offered you a powerful illustration about a patient that he encountered up at the hospital, a fella who preferred to be called Bear. I don't know if you remember that illustration. This guy was rough, motorcycle, hard as it comes, because he, as Don describing, he's kind of a scary looking guy. He looked like a grizzly bear, so the name Bear fit. While Bear was in the hospital, in a hospital bed. It's amazing how God works on your heart. And he called upon Don to come visit. Where's the chaplain? And Don had an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But Don began by saying to him, here's a New Testament. Read through the book of John. Not once, not twice, but three times. And then I'll come talk with you again. And as you remember from that, Pastor Don offered Bear the wonderful message of the gospel. Because Bear's heart was fertile and ready to receive, what would you have done in that circumstance? Mean old looking Bear, would you have said, you made your bed, now lie in it? Would you have had clasped hands and stood at a distance? You know? Sorry, too late for an old biker like you. You've done a lot of bad in life. You never sat in a pew. You haven't been faithful. Do we allow that self-righteousness to get into our heart? Or like the wonderful example of your pastor, are you ready? Are you willing to share God's grace and love, even with those folks that don't deserve it? We don't win hearts to Christ by saying, I told you so, or you made your bed and lie in it. Our mandate from Christ is to reach down to the broken of this world and lift them up, to offer them loving words of our Heavenly Father, offer grace and love. Because it's only found in Christ, the love of salvation. May we have the heart of our Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you reached down to us and pulled us up. Whether we're the wayward son, or whether we're the faithful and have had a hardened heart, an unforgiving heart towards others. Lord, today, Lord, we open our hearts to you. Let your love and grace fill us. May we know your heart. And Lord, as your disciples, as your people today, may we leave this sanctuary, may we leave this place ready to share the good news. May we be ready to reflect you and your heart. Amen.